Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. A mass mystery. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Terry Leanne Strickland on August 9, 1970, in Graham, Texas, Missy Bevers went by her nickname from a young age. And honestly, most of the lithe blonde's life was fairly uneventful. She met her husband Brandon Bevers in her mid-20s, and the two married in 1998. She went to school after their marriage and worked as a teaching assistant in special education, which she loved. Soon, Brandon and Missy's family grew. After having three daughters, Missy became a stay-at-home mom. But as her kids got older, she got more interested in fitness and even began working professionally as a fitness instructor, using her teaching cred to become a popular high-intensity workout instructor at Camp Gladiator, a large fitness chain, often called an MLN, multi-level marketing scheme online, that focuses on boot camps around the U.S. on a month-to-month membership basis. Missy held her Camp Gladiator sessions in the parking lot of Midlothian's Creekside Church of Christ in Midlothian, Texas, about 20 minutes from where she lived in Red Oak, Texas. On the evening of April 17, 2016, the 45-year-old was at her home. Checking the weather forecast, she saw a heavy thunderstorm coming from Midlothian, so she went on Facebook to inform her students enrolled in the 5 a.m. class that her class would be held inside the church as opposed to outside. That post would be the last that anyone would ever hear of Missy Bevers. Shortly after 5 a.m., a student of Missy's fitness class entered the church and found her body. Emergency services were called, but Missy was pronounced dead at the scene. As the Midlothian PD arrived, they observed that the instructor had a head injury and multiple puncture wounds to her chest. A hammer was found alongside other tools near Missy's body. A police warrant alleged that these wounds were, quote, consistent with tools the suspect was carrying throughout the building. What suspect, you might ask? Well, now we're probably at the most bizarre and much debated part of the case. Although cameras outside the church were not functioning on the day of the murder, cameras inside the church were functional and surveillance footage was recovered. Checking those surveillance tapes, Missy Bevers was last seen alive entering the church at 4:18 a.m. while preparing for her upcoming fitness class that was, of course, set to start at 5 a.m. Okay, that seems normal, consistent with Missy's schedule. But there was someone else in the church at the time. Surveillance footage showed that around 4 a.m., someone, a suspect of an unknown sex and identity, wandering around the church while occasionally smashing glass and attempting to open doors lining the church's hallways. The suspect wore what appeared to be a SWAT police outfit and tactical gear from head to toe, including a police-marked vest, a black helmet, and a black pair of gloves. Now, we don't see this happen. Though this footage might exist and might not have been released by the Midlothian police, but given the timing and her track record, Missy was likely transporting her exercise gear from her truck into the church when she encountered this strange SWAT police-clad individual who was wreaking havoc on the hallways in the church. Now again, we see the individual, the suspect, and we see Missy separately in the church around almost the same time. It's almost that of a horror movie, where they are, if we don't see it specifically, bound to encounter each other. Glass from broken windows scattered the floor of the building, guiding police on a trail that helped track the suspect's movements in the riot gear. They also found marks on the church's back door, likely indicating how the perpetrator accessed the building, initially leading police to believe that the incident may have been a robbery that had gone wrong. Now, we also don't have this footage, unfortunately. However, after searching the whole property, it was evident that nothing was missing from the church nor from Missy's person. She was still wearing her wedding ring. She also had her iPad and purse on her. Judging by the fact that Missy's licensed gun was left in her car in the church car park, Missy herself probably didn't think that there was anyone who wanted to harm her at her classes, showing that she likely had no knowledge of what would go down. Like many a small-town police patrol, the Midlothian detectives weren't exactly used to processing violent homicides or, you know, scrutinizing grainy church surveillance video, though they did note some specific details. One, the suspect's gait appeared to be strange, weighted and duck-toed, which means their toes were pointing predominantly outward as they walked. They also walked with a limp, which could have been a temporary or permanent condition. PD also noted the SWAT gear seemed too big for the person, estimating their height to be between 5'2 and 5'8. While investigators first believed the suspect to be a male, they later changed their position, thinking the suspect's gait and size could appear to be feminine. But it was hard to say. Then PD checked Missy's phone, as she was fairly online, what with promoting her boot camps and fitness career. A police search warrant alleged that Missy received, quote, creepy and strange messages from an unknown male on LinkedIn before her death. When police tracked down that person, they said the conversation was ultimately flirtatious and didn't lead to anything. But because of this, and of course her promotion of classes, police believed that Missy likely conversed with her murderer preceding the crime, and that they knew where she'd be the day of her murder from online sources. Now, of course, the surveillance also reflects that, though, again, we don't specifically see them encounter each other. During the investigation, Missy Bevers' relatives were also questioned. The alibis of Brandon, Missy's husband, and Randy, Missy's father-in-law, were confirmed. But on the 22nd of April, Brandon's father, Randy, went to a dry cleaner's in town with a woman's blood-stained shirt, asking for it to be clean. He told the employee that the blood was from a breakup of a dog fight, but Missy's murder story had been all over the news, so the employee at the dry cleaner actually called the police and offered up this information. A warrant was issued for the shirt, but when it was analyzed, it looked like someone had already tried to clean the blood off the shirt beforehand. While this timing, just days after Missy's murder, and the situation, Missy's father-in-law bringing a bloody shirt to a dry cleaner and not telling any PD, having the employee call the police with this information, seems incredibly suspicious. But when police analyzed the blood on the shirt, it did confirm to be dog's blood and not of human origin. Police also noted that Randy had a similar physique to the person in the security footage from the church, and he also walked with a limp. However, Randy was in California when Missy was murdered, and his alibi, of course, cleared him as a suspect. Brandy's sister, Christy, corroborated her father's story that the dogfight had happened, and the report, like I said, actually came back as positive for canine blood, but again, it was strange, and more unfortunately, perhaps, the damage was done. The community chastised Randy, and despite all of the statements being made public, he was, in their eyes, guilty. Furthermore, Brandon Bevers had no idea who would want to harm Misty. Brandy told the police that his marriage to Misty was great and that they were happy. Still, investigators found out that his marriage was not that happy. In fact, it was in disrepair and fraught with financial issues and even, according to many community rumors, infidelity. In May 2016, Midlothian police released a still image of what is believed to be a 2010 to 2012 Nissan Altima driving around early morning in the parking lot of SWFA Outdoors, a sports goods store located close to Creekside Church. The car, which police believe had an oval bumper sticker, pulled into the SWFA Outdoors parking lot around 2 a.m. before leaving just a few minutes later. According to Assistant Chief Kevin Johnson, the owner of the vehicle is not necessarily a subject, but he suspected that the Nissan's owner might be able to help the investigation. In December 2016, SWFA Outdoors released the full surveillance footage from the parking lot. The video shows the vehicle of interest entering the parking lot the same early morning as the murder, with the driver behaving in a very bizarre way. The driver circles the store's parking lot, flashes his headlights randomly, and parks in a secluded area for a few minutes before exiting the parking lot. Initially, a reward was set at $10,000 for any information regarding the case, but that was doubled to $20,000 and then $50,000. The case became high profile because the public was not only intrigued with rumors flying, but because they could actively participate in profiling the killer, and specifically the killer's walk, size, and mannerisms. Within hours of its release, the police department was inundated with tips from the public, and the FBI and U.S. Marshals Office stepped in to help field calls. And then, years passed, and nothing. The investigation stalled, and the murder of Missy Bevers went cold. But people were still so eager to solve this case, seeing as the evidence was right in front of them, and some shocking leads would soon come to pass. More after this break. On April 17, 2016, 45-year-old Missy Bevers was murdered at a local church, with haunting surveillance documenting her last minutes on Earth. With tips flying in by the thousands, it was surprising that no progress had been made in the case, until the fall of 2019, over 3 years since Missy's death. At that point, going through, again, the thousands of older tips, Midlothian police realized that one tip had been phoned in multiple times during the investigation regarding a man named Bobby Wayne Henry. Henry was a former Lancaster police officer who was questioned at one point, saying that he was, to other PD, a tactical officer, and admitted to police that he still owned his riot gear, but that it didn't fit him anymore. At the time of Missy's murder, Henry was a licensed security guard who worked Missy's funeral and attended Mass at Creekside Church of Christ. Henry was suspended from police due to an aggravated sexual assault in 1996. Perhaps most importantly, he walked with a limp. Police sought the advice of a forensic podiatrist to compare the walk of Henry and the masked assailant in the video footage, but their findings were inconclusive. However, the main issue with Henry being a suspect in Missy's murder was that he was 6'1" tall. Really, far too large to be the person in the security footage. But even if he was not involved in Missy's murder, a search warrant yielded child pornography on multiple devices in Henry's home. In June 2017, Henry was arrested for the pornography charges and took part in an interview from jail with Dallas's WFAA News. He denied knowing Missy or even her name, and eventually his alibi for the night of Missy's murder was corroborated. Despite help from the FBI and seemingly having some very strong suspect leads, the case reached another dead end in 2020. Though Missy's family has been fairly quiet up until that point, Missy's daughter, Hannah, spoke to Inside Edition and recalled the struggle she and her family had been through since her mother's death. Quote, "I've had people on Facebook message me and say, 'Your dad did this. Your dad killed your mom.' My dad loved my mom, and I know that 100%. Again, thousands of tips and spent thousands of hours investigating this 2016 murder. Midlothian Captain John Spann pled for more information from the public, insisting that anyone with any information should submit a tip, no matter how small the detail might seem. Quote, "It may be the one piece that we're missing," he said. If someone recalls seeing an individual, quote, "with the suspected killer's mannerisms at a store, even if it's out of state, police will contact the store and ask for video footage," he said. If the particular walk was caused by an injury, a temporary condition, or something else, police acknowledge that the suspect might no longer exhibit these mannerisms. But Brandon Bevers still looks for a limp and a weird gait wherever he goes. Speaking to Inside Edition, he admitted, quote, "When I see similar mannerisms with other people, I actually follow these people out to their car, get their license plates, and turn them in." He continued, quote, "I never imagined it taking this long. I have faith that this will be solved and the person will be apprehended. I just don't know when. But the longer it goes on, the harder it is. In 2021, the FBI continued their search for Missy Bevers' killer. The reward went up to $150,000, and the FBI also asked Dr. Michael Nirenberg, another forensic podiatrist, to study the suspect's gait. Nirenberg stated that the person's gait is affected by the weight of the gear and the weapons, and that there is no relationship between gait and gender. He concluded, yet again, that the suspect's gender cannot be determined solely from their gait. Fast forward to 2024. Midlothian's chief of police says the investigation into Bevers' death has never ended. He says that now the department has received more than 3,000 tips since her murder. That year, 8 years after her death, community members kept Bevers' memory alive by holding a vigil in her honor. Quote, "It gives you nightmares. It makes you very scared," said vigil organizer Renee Rodden, who worked with Bevers. "Why isn't it solved?" To this day, police have not identified the driver of the mysterious Nissan Altima and have also not definitively concluded whether or not it is related to Missy Bevers' killing. They also don't know who the suspect in the surveillance video is, or any concrete leads, on who could have done this. Of course, this case is so fascinating, not because of what we do know, but because of what we don't know. I couldn't find much about any type of infidelity or financial problems with the Bevers, or any kind of cover-up. But these details, the Randy Bevers dog incident, the surveillance, the limp, not knowing the gender of the perpetrator, the suit, the rumors, it's all just strange and keeps people thinking about the case, especially on Reddit. I'm going to read you some theories that proved most interesting to me. This is from Amarm325, quote, "I wonder if the police had a suspect in mind but lacked evidence. I want this solved so badly. I don't believe robbery was the motive. I've seen theories that it's the husband, the in-laws, or a romantic rival, and those seem plausible. Is it possible this was a hired hit?" From IHQ Throwaway, "The husband and in-laws were in another state. When they got back, the father-in-law took a bloody shirt to the dry cleaners, and everyone went crazy about it. Turns out there were multiple witnesses who saw him break up a dog fight while out of town, and they tested it. It was only dog blood. But he also had a limp, so everyone thought the case closed for a minute there. It said Missy and her husband were both cheating, so it could have been a jealous lover. I assume the police have tracked them down, but I haven't heard anything about it. Someone said there's a rumor Missy was cheating with a cop, and his wife killed her. No way to know if it's true, but that's a heck of a story." From Doug SA80, "It looks like the gear is too big for the person wearing it. I always said it looked like a woman. If I had any idea what social media I was mostly using at the time, I would pull all those comments up and screenshot them, because that is still what I think to this day." From Yoga Dog Dad, Texas 21, "I lived in Dallas at the time this happened and knew people from the burb she was living in. It's unreal that this hasn't been solved. I truly think they know who did it, but don't have the evidence to persecute." As of now, the murder of Missy Bevers is still, unfortunately, painstakingly unsolved. Anyone with information can share tips with police by texting MIDL and a tip to 847-411 or calling Ellis County Crime Stoppers at 972-937-7297.